This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The future of the state's tobacco trust fund remains in question. Budget proposals for the multi-million-dollar program diverge widely between the State House and the Senate. Senators have suggested continuing millions in funding. The State House has suggested cutting the funding entirely. Small farmers and the organizations that support them worry that losing this money could mean the demise of many enterprising agricultural projects. Here to talk about the role of the Tobacco Trust Fund money in the state's economy are Linda Shaw, Executive Director of the Pittsburgh-based Rural Advancement Foundation International USA. And joining us by phone is UNC Greensboro Senior Research Fellow Andrew Broad. He's the author of a study on the Tobacco Trust Fund money and how it reverberates through the state. Linda and Andrew, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Linda, you have been following the legislative action in the General Assembly regarding this trust fund and its financing, two houses at odds. Can you tell us where it stands right now?
Sure. The House, as you know, attempted to completely abolish the trust fund. The Senate this week in its budget decided to keep funding for the trust fund and to keep the trust fund as an entity intact. They are redirecting the money through the Department of Agriculture. So it would appear that the trust fund would become a line item in the Department of Agriculture.
The Tobacco Trust Fund is different than the Golden Leaf Foundation. How are they related and how are they different?
They're very related in that both of these funds, as well as the Health and Wellness Trust Fund, were created as a result of the master settlement between the tobacco companies and the state's attorneys general in 1997. That settlement in North Carolina, the leaders decided that half of the money would go for the Golden Leaf Foundation. Golden Leaf was set up as a separate, independent, nonprofit entity. The other money was divided equally between Health and Wellness and the Tobacco Trust Fund. Since that time, and that's how the money from the settlement was to have been dispensed, since that time, the legislature has diverted parts of the money on various occasions so that actually very little of the funding that was originally intended for the Tobacco Trust Fund has actually made it to the Tobacco Trust Fund.
And when it does, Andrew, what kinds of projects does it support? What does the money do?
Well, it supports a wide range of projects that are largely characterized as investment. Farmers are investing in different kinds of businesses, trying to develop new crops. They're building market stands. They're finding new ways to market their products. All in all, it's a fairly innovative array of activities that they're undertaking.
Give us an idea of what some of these, because essentially the money was aimed at helping farmers who were out of business because they tobacco farming ended or slowed down, and the communities that were hurt as well. So what do you do? How does that transition work, and how does the money help them?
Well, for example, if they want to develop an entirely new crop, maybe they want to grow wine, or rather the grapes for wine. They need to have a new set of maybe they need greenhouses. Maybe they need a new machine. Maybe they want to market. They actually want to produce food or manufacture food that they are growing, something they've never done before, and capture some of that surplus. There are a whole array of ways that they're trying to create jobs and create income on the farm.
And your study showed that they've been pretty successful. The multiplier effect here works very well.
Yes, it does. As a rule, when you look at multiplier effects, they're often two and three. But when you look at the particular nature of these grants, a little grant is often matched by spending by the farmer, money that wouldn't have been spent if not for the grant. And then, in addition, the farmer then creates a few jobs. My study looked at about 367 grants over the last 3 years, and each of these projects creates between three and four jobs. And when you add that in, you get this sort of leveraging upon leveraging, and you get a really strong amount of spending continuing to sort of percolate through the rural economy.
How strong?
Well, what we found is that every dollar of grants given by RAFI USA, the overall fiscal impact, the dollar impact, was around $205. And this is really, you know, really quite striking, but quite impressive.
Now, Linda, so that sounds like a very impressive use of government money, a very effective way for government to leverage tax money. And the more of that you have, then the more of that you generate. It's exactly what governments think they want to do and hope that either private or public markets will do. But you talked about it a second ago. This trust fund has been raided periodically, and that's one of the criticisms of this of the fund, is that it never – a lot of the money never got to its intended places.
That's true, but I think the study that Dr. Broad has just described shows very clearly that a little bit of money can go a long way. And please bear in mind that the study he did was just on the grant that RAFI received in the last 3 years for a three-year statewide effort for a grant of less than $5 million, again, over 3 years. So I think our program has demonstrated very clearly that just a little bit of money can have a huge impact in rural communities where not a lot of other economic development is going on. We feel we have shown very clearly that farmers are their small business people. They should be treated as the small business people they are, and they are the backbone of our rural economies. So that's the case we've been making to the General Assembly, that this is very important money. A little bit goes a long way. It'd be great if we had all the money that was intended, but, you know, we do a lot with what we have. And that's why it's so important to keep that money in there for this use.
Andrew, how do you measure the effects of money like this, the ripple effects through an economy?
Well, I could tell you, but I would have to kill you.
That's, you know, okay. There's always somebody waiting
really,
to take
there are some very well-established models that look at how an intervention, for example, a grant, the spending of some grant money, affects the economy. The basic idea is that there's a chain of interactions among buyers and sellers in an economy. If I spend $10,000 on something, that seller is going to turn around and keep some of that, but spend some of that. And the person that he spends the money on will do the same thing. And so you have this chain of ongoing spending. And if you take that out to infinity, which the model does, you find that there is sometimes a multiplier of two, sometimes a multiplier of three. Every initial dollar spent generates a total of, say, $2 or $3. Dollars. What we have in this study is we have a number of different avenues of impact, not just the original grant, but also the spending that the farmer does, also the jobs that he or she creates. And so it's a pretty, and I think the context is very important for this. These are, compared to the urban parts of North Carolina, these are fairly depressed economies. Unemployment rates are a good 2 percentage points above where they are in the urban counties of North Carolina. Per capita income is substantially lower by about 30% than it is in the urban counties, and so on. So I think there is, in a sense, a lot of underused resources. And the whole point of this RAFI program is to base economic development on the resources that are already there, the innovation and entrepreneurial capacity of the farmers.
And I think I'm right. Isn't it true that about, 85% of North Carolina's counties are considered rural? Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, there are various definitions. The Rural Economic Development Center identifies 85 out of the 100 counties as rural. That's a standard definition.
Linda, give us an example of somebody of a project that the trust fund money through RAFI has helped and how it worked.
We have over 367 such projects. One of them I will mention to you is a woman in the northwestern part of the state. They grow apples, and they had a bazillion apples, and they didn't know what to do with their apples, so they started making apple pies. Turns out everyone loves her apple pies, and she's selling apple pies like crazy, and she has employed 3 or 4 more people now to help her not only make apple pies, but other kinds of berry pies. We've funded a gentleman who wants to determine if pomegranates can be grown in North Carolina. That's in the northeastern part of the state. We've funded a person who is trying to determine if we can use sweet potatoes as pet chews for dogs. And we funded other sweet potato work. As you know, North Carolina's a big sweet potato mm-hmm. state. We've got to take care of our sweet potatoes. So it's just a multitude of opportunities. Some folks are trying to grow rabbits. Increasingly, rabbits are a food source. Other folks are looking at different kinds of Muscovy duck. I don't even know what that is, but we're going to figure out if that's a good market for a farmer. So all sorts of different products, different markets, different ways of growing it in an innovative fashion that would be replicable for other farmers. So it's not just even the one farmer who benefits from this. The idea is each farmer is required to share what he learns with other farmers. So it's replicated over and over again.
And I think there was a good example of this. The Independent Weekly did a story on this and profiled a farmer in Hillsboro who took the money and decided that to create really a tool library, a tool shed that
right.
small farmers around the area could share, since not everybody needed to have a tiller. It's a big, expensive machine. But if you had one tiller for six or seven farmers, they could all share that. So you put the money together, you buy a lot of equipment that then becomes, in effect, a cooperative.
Which, again, I think shows what's at the heart of our program, which is the farmers have great ideas. They're very innovative. They're very creative. There's lots of things they want to try. And usually all they need is just a little bit of resource to test out that idea. And there is no dearth of excellent ideas.
And, in fact, on the other end, there is a greater demand for locally produced farm products. I think this is something that we're seeing in the urban areas. The folks want more of the locally grown produce. This is a way of finding new ways for that to happen.
So, and marketing as well. If you're talking about sustainable farming, for instance, one of the things you have to do is talk to the folks who might buy that food and create a market for this new produce. Some of the money does go to marketing?
Absolutely. We make individual farmer grants, but we also make farmer community grants. So a local example, the Carborough Farmers Market, we provided a grant to them to enable them to begin to use electronic benefit transfer, which allows people who use what used to be called food stamps to access that produce. So it expands the market for the farmers, and it opens up a much better nutrition aspect for the lower income person. We've helped a group in the Sand Hills pull together a CSA, community supported agriculture, where folks are buying into that and they are actually delivering the produce around, and they have had so much demand that they have already exceeded what they were able to do. It's growing like wildfire. So, yes, we also support, and not just farmers markets, but a variety of different ideas that help farmers come together collectively, like the tool sharing concept that you mentioned in Hillsboro.
Now, if the trust fund is not funded, I'm a little confused about this, because there is a master settlement. There was money from Big Tobacco as a result of this that comes to the state of North Carolina. Right now it's administered through Golden Leaf and the trust fund. Am I right? Is that where the money goes from the master settlement?
What's not diverted goes there.
Well, that would be my question. If you don't fund the trust fund, what happens to the money that's available through the master settlement?
The money is being diverted into the general fund for whatever else needs to be done. Some of the money originally was diverted for a cancer research program. But right now, and that'll be the difference in the way the Senate budget is written, and if this is agreed to, the Senate budget will take all the money from the master settlement and send it through the general fund, and then there will be a line item appropriation through the Department of Agriculture saying this goes for the purposes of the Tobacco Trust Fund Commission.
Because the money was deliberately set aside or intended for those communities that had been hurt by because tobacco farming has pretty much ended.
That's exactly right.
Shrunk.
And the Golden Leaf, well, there are two different situations going on, and Golden Leaf has been a little bit protected in that it had that separate nonprofit entity, which the other trust funds did not have. Right. So it's not clear to me right now what happens with Golden Leaf. But
it's also true that Golden Leaf has a constituency and a focus that goes beyond the farm economy. And so
explain that. How is it different?
Well, it is designed to do the same thing, to address communities that have been hurt by the decline of tobacco farming and the decline of the tobacco economy. But its goals are a little bit more expansive in that it could help economic developments in urban areas as well as rural. So when you're talking about the grant program that RAFI conducts, it's really much more targeted and much more effective in the farm economy itself.
It is, but it's also very important to point out that both of these programs have also had tremendous impact in rural areas. The particular program that we talk about today, the Tobacco Communities Reinvestment Fund through RAFI, is supported right now by the Tobacco Trust Fund. We've had some Golden Leaf money in this in the past, and we have other programs going on that support farmers from Golden Leaf, so both are very important. But Golden Leaf was not slated for abolition, whereas the trust fund was, and that's why we have mounted such a campaign to try to say, no, you cannot take the Tobacco Trust Fund. It's way too important to the farmers of North Carolina.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. I've been talking with Andrew Broad, a senior research fellow at UNC Greensboro Center for Business and Economic Research, and Linda Shaw, executive director of the Rural Advancement Foundation International USA, based in Pittsboro. Andrew and Linda, thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. If you have a comment about the show or want to hear an archived edition, our website is stateofthings.org. You can follow us on Facebook as well. The State of Things is produced by Amber Nimix and Alex the Great Granados. Robin Copley is our technical director. The managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.